Amen. Please be seated. I invite you to join me, if you would, in Mark chapter 12. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 41 through 44, Mark 12, 41 through 44. And you may have guessed already, based in part on Kyle's message today, that we're going to talk about money again today. Again, we just talked about money last week, but money once again, but only because Jesus has chosen to highlight it once again. But there's no need to worry, you can relax. Today's simple story is a powerful one. But what it does is it simply invites us to sit and ponder the significance of all that we've been given by God and what it looks like and what it feels like to give back some to the kingdom purposes of His in this world. We're also going to see that today's passage links really beautifully with the message from last week. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. I'll begin reading in verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Please pray with me. Lord God, we are so thankful to be gathered here today. We are so thankful once again for this congregation, this family of faith who surround us. We're thankful for this place where we get to gather and worship each week. And we are so very thankful for your invitation to come into your presence and to be able to offer ourselves to you in worship. We're thankful for the gift of Scripture as well, in particular the Gospels and what they teach us about your kingdom and what it looks like for us, even in 2024, to follow after you, to live in your kingdom ways. And so, in these next few minutes, as we look into your word, give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so that we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. Pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want you to imagine that you are here. In this scene, the scene where Jesus and his disciples are sitting, they are in the Jewish temple in the court of women. And I know we don't have a court of women here or a court of men or a holy of holies, but they worshiped in a different way than us. And so they were in one of the outer courts of the temple. There was the court of Gentiles, which was open to everyone on the all the way on the outside. And the next level in was the court of women. That was the first level where Gentiles were not allowed to enter. And so as people walked into this space, they had a chance to give their gift, to offer their tithe to God on their way into worship. In that court of women, there were 13 shofar chests set along the walls. Imagine them circling all the way around. You can just imagine our narthex, maybe, as a version of this court of women. And you'd walk in and you'd have these offering receptacles all the way around the room. These shofar chests were made of metal, and they were shaped like trumpets with a large opening up at the top, and people brought their money to give there on their way into worship. The amount of money they would give would be obvious, because you see, these were metal boxes receiving metal coins. And so as people came in, anyone within earshot would know not just whether or not you gave, but they would have a sense of how generous you were, of how much you placed into that receptacle on the way in. In fact, Mark uses the word "through" to describe the way in which the wealthy deposited their offerings. Can't we picture it? Strutting into the narthex on the way into worship, handfuls of coins to give because I'm wealthy, and then giving with a flourish that creates quite a ruckus so that everyone around can give the appropriate attention to the wealth that I have given to the church. It isn't altogether different than the way that we gave during COVID. Do you remember our offering box that we had out in the narthex? We wanted to make sure we didn't get any COVID germs off of the offering plates. And so when you walked into worship, you had the chance to put something into that box. Now, we were kind to you. We made it plastic so it didn't make a lot of noise. No one knew if you just put a small check in there or a big check. It was just a place for you to put your money. But I liked when we did that because it was a little bit like the way they used to worship, a chance to come in and give. And yet it's interesting in Jesus' day and in this moment, as he and his disciples do a little bit of people watching, that people would just sit and watch as folks arrived to worship and gave in this way. It was so very public and so very different than the way that we do it in the church today. But as Jesus observes what is taking place, true to form, true to the way that he operated in his public ministry, he observes something going on and he chooses in that moment to teach a lesson, both to his disciples and through the ages to us, about what it looks like to give of ourselves to God. There are two different types of people in this scene. The first are the rich people, the ones who threw in large amounts of coins. And Mark tells us there were many of them. So in that procession, as they're observing the people come in, many wealthy people putting large amounts of money into these receptacles. And then there was a poor widow. And she deposited two very small copper coins. We're not told a lot about the rich people's offerings, other than realizing that they gave a lot. And that's an interesting observation on Mark's part and on Jesus' part. It's not that those offerings were insignificant. The money that the wealthy were giving to the temple treasury was what was enabling the temple to do what it did, to carry out its purposes in Jerusalem and the surrounding communities. And the same is true today in our church. The money that you give when that offering plate goes around, it enables the ministries of this church. It allows us to fund our mission partners. It allows us to minister to the needs of our communities and to the needs of one another in the midst of our faith family right here at Fletcher Hills. And so giving large gifts is not a problem. Jesus isn't critiquing the wealthy when they give in this way, but it's just not the focus of what he's teaching in this moment. The focus in this moment has to do with motivation. It has to do with the heart. It has to do with what makes a true offering to God something significant. We're told more about the widow's offering than the offerings of the wealthy. We're told she gave two coins. They were these very small copper coins. Lepta is the word in Greek. And lepta were the smallest coins in circulation. And so, like Kyle mentioned a few minutes ago, it really was the equivalent of a penny. A lepta coin was the equivalent of a penny. And think for a moment about the way that we view pennies in the world. What can you buy with a penny these days? Used to be maybe one of those bubblegum machines outside the grocery store would get you a piece of bubblegum, but not even now. Inflation, right? You need at least a nickel, maybe a quarter for those these days. A penny is such a small amount of money. I still remember when my daughter Zoe was small, we were walking down the street one day, and all of a sudden I hear Zoe exclaim and then kind of gasp, and she runs behind us and she picks up this penny off the ground. And she looks me in the eyes and she says, "Dad, I can't believe you walked past that money and didn't pick it up off the ground." Now, I couldn't remember whether I saw it or not when I walked by, but I'll tell you this, I don't think I stop very often to pick up pennies. Not because I like litter on the ground, but what are you going to do with that penny? Stick it in your jar filled with change and eventually take it someplace and pull a bunch together to do something? It's just such a small amount of money. And understanding this helps us to see so much of the significance of what happens when this woman comes and brings her offering. Essentially, this widow deposited small change as she entered worship that day. Imagine the soft sound those two little coins made as she dropped them into the offering. Yet Jesus emphasizes that her small change was a huge deal. You see, there weren't just two different types of people in this scene. There were two different types of offerings that were given. One of these offerings came from wealth, and one of them came from poverty. Where the offering comes from makes a difference. Of the widow's offering, Jesus says, she gave more than all the others. She put in everything, all she had to live on. The Message translation, I think, is helpful here. It says this: all the others gave what they'll never miss, yet she gave extravagantly. She gave her all. You see, the wealthy made a contribution that day. And it was a good contribution. It would, once again, help the ministries of the temple. The wealthy made a contribution that day, but the widow made a sacrifice. There's something about the sacrifice that she made that turned her gift into a true offering. And that's where this story links to last week's teaching from Jesus. Last week we considered the coin, and it was give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. This woman is giving to God what is God's. This woman's sacrificial offering was a picture of everything that she was. This also links to the text that comes immediately preceding this particular story about the greatest commandment, that we might love our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. This woman is doing just that. She's given all of herself, and Jesus commends her for it. Now, a couple observations about this. We need to be careful here when we talk about financial giving. On the one hand, Jesus talks about all that she had to live on, and there's this sense, and I've heard it preached this way, that we're supposed to give until we don't have enough for ourselves anymore, that we're supposed to give ourselves into poverty. That's what Jesus is teaching here, but that's not what Jesus is teaching here. He's talking about sacrifice. He's talking about the heart of it. He's talking about how generous we want to be with what we have, but he's not asking that we paint ourselves into a corner by giving away so much we don't have any to live on. There were systems in place in the way in which the church would care for widows in Jesus' day. That's not what he's promoting here. He's simply highlighting the sacrifice of what she on her own chose to give. We also need to be careful whenever we're talking about money, because pastors and churches have been abusive with texts like this, guilting people into giving what they don't have to give, guilting people into giving in such a way that, well, then I will please God. When I give this much and I empower this to happen, God will love me more. And that's not what Jesus is talking about here either. It's not about guilt. It's not about any person in this world telling you exactly what you should do with your money, but rather a chance to pause and really ponder the way in which we give in this world, personally, to the church and otherwise, to the good of this world, to the Jesus things that are happening in this world, a chance for us to pause and ponder. The tithe in the Old Testament made giving simpler in some ways. Tithe was a beautiful thing. There was a percentage point that people were applying to what they had, and that meant that the wealthy gave a much larger amount, and those who did not have as much gave a much smaller amount, but each were sacrificing in similar fashion using that percentage. Jesus changed things a little bit in the New Testament, and he pressed a little further for generosity, not necessarily undoing the tithe, but saying, give generously, give with joy, give with your heart in this way, because you can see where those gifts have come from, and you can see the way in which they are carrying out my purposes in this world. Jesus tried to bring a sense of freedom and not just legalism into the way that we give. But still, we need to be really careful here. We need to make sure that we are thinking in conjunction with the guidance of the Spirit whenever any of us thinks about financial giving in particular. And it's important that as we do this, we focus on ourselves. It's too easy to focus on others. You know, wow, look at the car they're driving. Wonder what those coins sound like when they clang in the receptacle, you know? Or, well, if I was in their place, I'd give a whole lot more than I do now, but I'm not. I'm barely dragging by. The truth is, the majority of us have plenty in this world. And scarcity plays into this, wondering if God's going to provide for us as we move ahead. But every one of us then has that chance not to focus on others, what cars they drive, how wealthy we think they are or not, but instead just to simply pause and assess who we are, what God has given us, how God has enabled us to find the resources that we need, and how God guides us to give some of those resources back to his purposes in this world. I think we need to be careful, too, when we get nervous around stories like this. For a long time when I first was a pastor, I would just avoid the money things altogether, you know. Oh, man, I don't want to be that guy, that pastor who's talking about money too much. But these days, if Jesus says it, let's talk about it. Money is there. He talks a lot about money in the scriptures. But by releasing myself from any need to influence any individual in this room, I leave it up to God. I leave it up to the Spirit. Leave it up to the dynamics that are being presented to us here. But we do need to be careful not to come across a story like this and just think, nice story, Jesus. That was really cool. It's really cool the way you did that. Without actually hearing what Jesus is saying and allowing his message to infiltrate us and change the way we think a bit. Jesus' observation gives each of us a chance to think about our own offerings, all of our offerings, our time, our talents, but also the financial treasure that we offer back. Are we simply making a contribution from our wealth, one that we really won't miss, one that really doesn't matter so much? Or have we thought and prayed and considered, I can give more, I can give this much, and it will really make a difference in God's purposes? Is there a bit of sacrifice involved? And when that sacrifice is involved, it turns our gift into a true offering, where we are giving to God what is God's. Let's use this text and this Lenten season, each of us in our own hearts, under the guidance of God, as an inspiration to think once again about all that we've been given with hearts filled with gratitude, and all that we can give toward God's purposes and all the ways we can do this in this world. I pray that you take some time this week to think through these things with the guidance of the scripture, the guidance of our questions in the bulletin, and the guidance of the Spirit within. Are we giving to God what is God's? Please pray with me. Lord God, money and conversations about money draw so many emotions out of all of us. It's impossible not to think about money in this world, to think about our day-to-day needs, our expenses, and our income, to look into the future and wonder, when the day comes, will I be able to retire? Will I have enough? Will my needs be met? These are normal concerns for us as human beings, and we ask for your wisdom and your guidance in all of those respects. But we ask, too, that you'd help us to see what it is you want us to take away from all of these teachings you give us about money in the scriptures. It seems, Jesus, that there is the mechanics of a certain amount of money needed to meet the needs of this world, whether it's through the church or other organizations that are doing your good work in this world. But there's also an issue of the heart. There's an issue within us of how loosely we hold to the resources that you have entrusted to us. And what does it look like for us to see them not just as ours, but also as yours? Give each of us individually, free from guilt, the chance from time to time to be able to pray, to listen, to reassess how you guide us so that what we give becomes a heartfelt offering to you. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.